This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Jimmy Kimmel Live preempted indefinitely by ABC after comments that Kimmel made regarding the shooting of right-wing influencer Charlie Kirk. President Trump cheering the move on social media. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze with other reaction.
An immediate response from leading Democrats, from Senator Chuck Schumer to California Governor Gavin Newsom. Firing commentators, canceling shows, these aren't coincidences. It's coordinated and it's dangerous. Unions representing entertainment professionals and writers have condemned the decision.
President Trump and British Prime Minister Starmer holding a news conference following meetings on trade and the wars in Ukraine and Gaza. An advisory panel at the CDC begins a two-day meeting today focused on vaccines. The group expected to discuss which vaccines will be recommended for children against diseases like the measles, the chickenpox, and hepatitis B. This is ABC News.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The National Weather Service has new flood mapping technology. With more, here's Civic Media's Brittany Merlot.
NOAA's new river flooding maps are out in western parts of Wisconsin, mainly focused on the Mississippi River Valley. This is a new tool that visually shows in high resolution street level views of where floodwaters may rise onto land. It basically puts water on a map for forecasters to see precisely what streets and homes are at risk. It calculates the current flow of rivers and gives a new forecast update every hour for the National Weather Service to use. This will help with both flood forecasting and warnings. The flood inundation mapping, called FIP, can also forecast up to 5 days out. The program started just 2 years ago, but only covered Louisiana, New York, Pennsylvania, and Texas. Now, 60% of the country has this new information to work with. By next year, NOAA says the entire country will be covered, including eastern areas of Wisconsin, near Lake Michigan, and up north. The National Water Prediction Forecast models will be used for more than 3.6 million river miles. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You can see the maps on the National Weather Service website. Gas prices continue to drop in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Average gas prices fell 8 cents per gallon over the last week. The average price in the state on Monday, being $2.88, means prices are 3.9 cents higher than a month ago. However, this is still 8.5 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. More states saw decreases than increases last week, and there's good news on the horizon. The transition to cheaper winter gasoline begins on Tuesday across most of the country. Officials at GasBuddy expect average gas prices to continue to decline in the weeks ahead, as long as hurricane season remains quiet.
Here in La Crosse, gas prices trend along with the statewide average and are comfortably under $3 per gallon. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers prepare for Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers face the Browns in Cleveland Sunday at noon. Although they're now 0-2, the Browns showed a good run defense against the Bengals and the Ravens. Matt LaFleur.
Really good players across really their whole defense. That's a big reason they're the top-ranked defense in football right now. But they've got a lot of guys that are a hard-penetrating front that caused a lot of problems for quarterbacks.
College football, Wisconsin Badgers host Maryland Saturday at 11 a.m. The Terrapins are 3-0, Wisconsin 2-1. The Brewers going for a sweep after beating the Angels again last night 9-2 in Milwaukee. Brandon Woodruff with 10 strikeouts, allowing just one run on two hits, getting his 10th win of the season.
Tonight was a big outing for me in terms of just getting the body back acclimated. You know, it's been roughly 10 days or whatever it was, and yeah, it was huge for me to get back out there, and my body got going there in the second, and then everything kind of back to normal.
That's the Brewers' Brandon Woodruff with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly sunny sky for today, a few showers and maybe even a thunderstorm around. A high within a few degrees of 80. Rain chances continue tonight, lows in the low 60s. More storms around Friday, high low 70s. Rain chances continue into the weekend. Currently it's 66.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Talk about overall mental health, how we cope with this nonstop, overwhelming news. Tom, thanks for calling. What say you?
Nobody can do push-ups indefinitely. But bring this back to mental health, and suddenly we feel able to pound through this without taking any kind of a break. And it's just not the way that it works. So do any action that takes you away from whatever it is that you're stressing out. Go for a walk. Get a drink of water. Read a book.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Brittany Merlot will tell us how long our season of summer will continue. And the Brewers continued trying to wrap up their division. J.R. Radcliffe with more. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don. It's Thursday, September 18th, 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north across the Civic Media radio network. Parker Olson is our producer down in Madison Studio A2. We're here with meteorologist Brittany Merlot and, of course, Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. And guys, I just, while getting some creamer for my coffee, took a look and was reminded of what I have for lunch today. And so we're going to play the game, My Lunch is Better Than Your Lunch.
Oh, boy.
Because yesterday, last night, folks, get yourself a spouse who will make pizza crusts from scratch. And so we, every so often, will have homemade pizza because she'll get out the Mixmaster and she'll make up a big old ball of dough and turn that into two different pizza crusts so that we can decorate our pizzas however we like. And can we talk about homemade pizza when you get control over all the things, you know?
Right.
The whole ratio of cheese and garlic and, you know, all the...
What did you go heavy on, Pat?
Garlic. And yet she's still married to me. And the pepperoni and mushroom and sun-dried tomatoes. I don't know. Brittany, if you were building your own pizza, what would you go heavy on?
I'd do pepperoni, green peppers, mushrooms, black olives. I would throw everything. I don't know.
Okay.
It'd probably be a messy pizza, but
that's all right. Chad, making your own pizza.
Sausage, onions, and green peppers.
And green peppers. Hey, that's all right. I learned because the other kind of pizza we make is we'll make a deep dish one. I'll make that in a cast iron skillet. She'll make the dough. And the recipe that I have for that includes, once you've put the other stuff in, after the mozzarella, is just a little bit of Parmesan and just a little bit of olive oil. And just a teeny tiny bit more of garlic. So it's right there on the top. Do you realize people are still trying to eat breakfast right now? And I'm over here getting them all set for lunch already. So I've got some homemade pizza standing by that I just had to brag about.
You can't stop thinking about it. And I mean, for us morning folk, we eat lunch early in the morning.
I was going to say, my lunch is 52 minutes away. So, yep. You know, this works out just fine for me. Brittany, folks are having their breakfast right now. Some of them getting a little wet in the process here.
Yeah, they are. We've got some scattered showers, light sprinkles moving in, especially up in the Northwoods, far northeast. We're seeing that towards the Rhinelander, Minocqua area. Then also south and west by La Crosse, the Mississippi River Valley and south, you're seeing a few of those sprinkles moving in too. And we're statewide seeing more clouds out there. So a darker day, but we will see spots of sunshine. A lot of sunshine is holding on near Milwaukee right now. But what we've got happening is a front that is slowly dropping through the state today. It's unstable, so it's sparking some of these showers, and they will spark again later on this evening, probably after 5 o'clock or so. Could be anywhere, but I'm thinking further north is where those are going to target. Highs today will be a little bit cooler up north, only reaching 70 degrees, and then down south, you're still hanging on to that heat, hitting the mid-80s still. So that's our day today. And then tomorrow, it is going to stay mostly cloudy. It is going to get breezier. That system itself, the low pressure, is going to get closer and closer. And it does move in Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. So that's going to bring some widespread rain. Heavy totals are possible. We could see up to 2 inches in places, especially if you keep getting underneath the thunderstorms. And I'd say at least a half an inch to an inch widespread rain by the time the weekend is said and done. So this all ramps up Friday into our Saturday and Sunday, and it drags our high temperatures down to the mid-60s north to about the mid-70s south.
Okay, well, I mean, sometimes you get the perfect September weekends, and sometimes you got to keep the gear handy. Parker, yeah. my apologies, I didn't come to you next. Pizza toppings?
I mean, any meats, really. Any sausage, meats. Pepperoni.
Right. Let's throw a grenade in the middle of this. All right, everybody. Tony. In capital letters, Tony, in capital letters, pineapple.
I'm fine with that.
Followed by three or four exclamation points. We'd like to thank Tony for a service he will no longer be part of mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Come on, pineapple.
You know what? I just tried. I went up north to Cable, and there was this pizza place, and they had mangoes on their pizza.
Oh.
And it was so different and so interesting. I decided to try it. And I'm Italian, right? I like the classic pizza. Mm-hmm. It was actually good. Not gonna lie.
Okay. Tony also says it's cloudy and rainy up in Ashland, so much better than the 80s. Robin Tigerton says, I love a homemade pizza, onions, cucumbers, ham, and hamburger.
Cucumbers.
Yeah, that's a new one on me. Fall colors along 29 west of Shawano are looking beautiful. He took some pictures. Let's see. I also missed some of what he had earlier. He said he had the air conditioning going in Shawano back when the temperature hit 89 and felt like July at times. He had a mowing job and a doctor's appointment in Shawano yesterday and then had spaghetti and meatballs at the Shawano Cafe, which is also not a bad way to go. So, all kinds of good meals. Brittany, thank you so much for playing Stack That Pizza with us.
And my tummy grumbling. Thank you.
I know. All right. Talk to you a little bit later.
Yeah.
Now we've got Chad who's working all kinds of high school football games and not getting anything like a delicious homemade pizza by and large. You're getting just... What'd you say last week? You just bring like your own fruit snacks or something, or is that just Parker who eats those?
That's not me.
Okay. Just concession stand, hot dogs and things like that. So anyway, you looking forward to your games this week?
Yeah, I got one tonight and tomorrow. So anything to avoid thinking about
the state of the world,
how this country is falling down a rabbit hole here. So I'm doing my best here, Pat, but I am livid this morning. And I was doing the big high school sports show last night. I get home and I see what ABC did, and it's ridiculous. And I don't know how to go about this right now. Yeah. Maybe you can help me out here because I am just beyond. Because we're seeing it here in Wausau too. I mean, there's a controversy this week because a alderperson made a comment concerning Charlie Kirk and we gotta fire him. I mean, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the government trying to pick winners and losers. And if it's one thing, we have a responsibility when we have a microphone. And it's a freedom of speech, but there is a responsibility. You don't have the right to be here. And if I say something really, really stupid, then obviously our bosses would have the complete right to say
exactly.
No, we don't want you here anymore. But it's so one way. I went through it this morning, the last hour, I spent some time talking about the fact that we have Jimmy Kimmel and others who make, I think, comments that are not nearly as bad as what Brian Kilmeade did last week.
Euthanizing the homeless, right?
What Jesse Waters did in the last week, talking about civil war and vengeance and all of that. Not what Greg Gutfeld did when he said that conservatives should embrace the term Nazi. Not there's crickets.
Yeah, not to mention the horrible things they said after Melissa Hortman was assassinated in Minnesota over the summer. So, I mean, none of them have clean hands on this. They are simply using this as an excuse for a power play and going after media that they think will submit. And so far, national media has been extremely submissive. And this one from ABC is especially frustrating because they saw the Stephen Colbert thing. They know it had nothing to do with money, that it had nothing to do with speech. It was complete politics on the behalf of Trump and the owners of Paramount and trying to get a deal done. ABC knows all this, and yet they caved to pressure anyway. And I mean, you can see why corporate media, this isn't exactly their golden era right now, shall we say.
And also, again, it's a combination. Yes, we need some courage being shown in that realm, but also it is so, and I would say, use the term un-American, to see what Brendan Carr, the FCC commissioner, did. This all started yesterday. He went on Benny Johnson's podcast, who is a far-right provocateur, and he basically said he's going after ABC and Disney and Jimmy Kimmel. And we are seeing things that have not been done before by government entities. We saw on, did you see on the Rose Garden lawn? Well, there's no lawn anymore, but
the slab, the concrete slab.
When Trump was getting ready to fly off to Great Britain this week, he got a couple of questions he didn't like, because basically he was asked, you know, how much money have you made since you became president again? Because mm-hmm. his family is just raking it in right now.
Oh, yeah.
Using his position. And then he got on Jonathan Carl and said, you know, ABC paid me $16 million. We're going to go after you next.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
A president of the United States saying that at the White House. I just,
we've drawn the parallels.
A line has to be drawn here.
Yes, we've drawn the parallels to what happened in Hungary with Viktor Orban becoming an autocratic, well, basically a dictator in everything but name, I guess. And it started in large part with this war on all the media there and on all of the universities there, and got enough of them to either, you know, kowtow or to be taken over by billionaires who were friendly with the ruling party. And that is exactly what Trump is trying to do here. And so when ABC thought, well, or CBS, well, we'll placate him and we'll settle this out of court for $15, $16 million. Did you really think that was going to make things easier on you? Now you've basically admitted guilt without admitting guilt, but you're guilty in their eyes and you are just fair game now. And, you know, again, until some of these entities really start to push back. And by the way, that goes for colleges and universities too. There have been a couple that have, but too many others have been too quick to settle and, you know, sell out themselves and sell out their First Amendment. And it's going to take a lot more courage from a lot more people. Now, I get that it's easier said than done. I'm not sitting in their offices, but I'm looking at their offices anyway and going, you got to try harder to stand up for actual American values.
And also, everybody needs to say, this is not acceptable.
Right.
It is not acceptable for the president of the United States and members of his administration to use their powers to basically say, we're going to stop a merger because we don't like your political speech, or mm-hmm. we're going to remove somebody, or if you don't remove somebody, we're going to make trouble for you. That is just completely against what this country has been about, whether it's been a conservative or a liberal in office. The idea that there has to be a litmus test on whether or not you're saying nice things about Donald Trump in order to have a merger put through. This is unprecedented.
Mm-hmm. So much of what it is. Now, PJ gets on YouTube and says, cancel your Hulu and Disney subscriptions. And there are people doing that to make a statement to ABC. I mean, I canceled my Washington Post subscription when it was clear that Jeff Bezos was going to turn the Washington Post into something that would not hold Donald Trump accountable. It won't make all the difference in the world, but each one of those is a sign that members of the American public understand the stakes. And they're not willing to just go, you know, what are you going to do? I guess I'll keep doing what I'm doing. These little acts, they do add up, and they are a way of getting your voice out there. Your voice isn't as powerful as the powerful, but with enough people, it can make a statement. So I hope people hear your words and don't just get complacent about it.
No, and it's just when you hear it, you can't just say, well, that's the way it is. And that's, you know, when I heard that last night, it was another shot. And I just, mm-hmm. and I understand the battle of ideas, but using the power the way that this administration is using it is wrong. And people have to call it out and say, this is wrong. Well, it's wrong on every level.
You go ahead and call it wrong. I'm going to call it un-American, because that's exactly what I think it is. Chad Holmes, you can catch him on 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. As long as the powers that be let us hang on.
Well, I will send you the check for this session with my psychiatrist.
Anytime.
Here.
anytime. Happy to do that. When we come back, we're going to talk about the opening bell with Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets, including did the Federal Reserve, did they cave to pressure from the president, or were they doing what was necessary as somebody drags the economy to the verge of stagflation? That's coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax. But the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back. We've got Milwaukee Brewers baseball tonight. Game three of their series against the Los Angeles Angels. The pregame begins at 6:05 across stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. Let's talk about your money in the markets with Sean O'Malley. Eventually, I mean, we're going to get into the Federal Reserve and interest rates and jobless claims because things are still soft, and the index of leading economic indicators, which isn't great. There's mortgage rates, there's stagflation, there's tariffs. Sean, let's begin with pizza. Why don't you build your perfect pizza for us? What are we putting on that baby?
Absolutely. Well, I have a great recommendation, and I loved Miss Merlot's description of the pizza place in Cable. And considering how many times I have driven through and will continue to drive through Cable because it's right between my two houses, I got to stop in to try that one. But it reminded me of one that I had up here in Bayfield not long ago, in fact, at a local place, St. James Social. And the topping was, believe it or not, peaches, burrata, crumbled bacon, and just a sprinkling of thyme. And it was really lovely.
What's burrata?
It's like a really soft mozzarella. So it's a cheese, but super soft, easily meltable.
And where was this?
At St. James Social here in Bayfield.
In Bayfield. Okay.
Yeah. It's not the regular pizza. It was a seasonal one because it was the end of summer and they still had peaches. So why not put them on a pizza? And
if it was delicious. if I ever get an invitation to get on that boat up in Bayfield, I got a place to stop as well along the way for some for some vittles. So this would be good. All right.
Yep.
How late do you typically sail up there before you have to put things away, put your toys away for the winter?
Well, I had to put the big toy away already, and today is the day to take everything off the small one, and that will get put away. I got to fill out all the forms, and they'll be taking that out. Yeah, there's a new rule that went into effect up here on Shawamigan Point, all the marinas. You cannot have your boat in past the end of October. Now, the reason that this rule exists is due to my father.
Oh, no.
Absolutely true story. He loved to do something he called the Sail November Club. And so he would keep his boat in until November, do a final sail the first week in November, and then pull it out. That did not go well back in 1991 when we had the
Halloween blizzard.
Exactly. Part of the perfect storm that later hit the East Coast, and his boat got frozen into the marina in Cornucopia.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
So now that's the rule. No more of that.
That makes perfect sense now, because I was in the Twin Cities for the Halloween blizzard, and that's right, stretched all the way up into, you know, Duluth, Ashland, Bayfield. And oh my gosh, I never even thought about that angle of it. Yep. I totally see it. Now.
Basically like being flash frozen into the lake.
Oh yes, we do. Yeah, with 30 inches of snow to boot. Yay. Yeah. All right. Well, now that we've got that image in us to say, you know, life gets rough at all kinds of times. It got rough for a time in 1991. It's a little rough right now, given the geopolitics and everything that's out there. So you had the Federal Reserve through the Federal Open Market Committee announcing a cut in short-term interest rates. We've talked a bit about why you would do that. What's your own overview of, you know, what it is they discussed or what they ultimately ended up doing?
What they ultimately ended up doing was making sure that they saved their jobs, for sure, because we know everybody. I mean, the administration has been talking loud and long about, you know, Trump has been saying, I want rate cuts. Well, congratulations, sir. You got your rate cut yesterday from the Fed Open Market Committee. However, it was only a 25 basis point cut, only 0.25%. So it was not, you know, it wasn't Christmas. The markets were, you know, a little mixed. Not all the indices were up on the stock market. So I think it was arguably prudent due to the soft jobs number. It definitely would be enough to, you know, go back to the White House and say, hey, we did what you wanted. But they went even further when they indicated that there are two more cuts that they're considering later this year. So that sort of sets the stage for, you know, possible future cuts. But that also means that what they're seeing in the data that not all of us may see or not all of us may get is that the economy is continuing to soften.
Yeah. We're seeing that in jobless claims, right?
Right, right. We had a big surprise last week with 263,000 initial jobless claims. That was the biggest since I forget which month back in 2021. I think it was April or August or something like that. So a long, long time. We had another announcement this morning, fortunately a little tamer, 231,000 initial jobless claims. But as we mentioned, I think in one of the earlier shows, there are now more job seekers than there are open jobs. Mm-hmm. And that hasn't happened in a long time. So just not a real bright employment picture out there.
The closest thing to bright would be mortgage rates that had been falling ahead of the announcement on interest rates. And what has that done for refinancing, and what's your overview of that?
Yeah. So it was interesting. The mortgage rates went down before the announcement, and it drove up demand by almost 60% from the prior week. So a lot of people looking to capture those lower mortgage rates. And I think a lot of that's driven by, you know, consumers trying to lower their costs. They're dealing with, you know, increased prices pretty much across the board. There is one other bright spot though. There's going to be your fuel costs will probably be going down. OPEC has recently agreed to increase production significantly. That's going to mean that U.S. producers are going to have less incentive to produce because the price won't be worth it. But you as a consumer, will probably be paying less at the pump very shortly. Probably estimates are as much as like 25, 30 cents down per gallon versus what you're seeing now. So good news on the cost cutting side. Yeah, with the mortgage rates and the fuel costs coming down, but everything else is not going the same direction.
We're talking to Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets. We'll continue after the break, followed by Joe Specky on this Thursday morning, September 18th. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Another name joins the crowded Democratic gubernatorial field for Wisconsin in 2026. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tome Olson.
Hong has repped Madison in the state assembly since 2021. She's the first Asian American member of the Wisconsin legislature. She's a chef and first ran for state office to advocate for restaurant workers during the pandemic. Since then, she's campaigned on a progressive working class platform, and she referenced that in her first campaign video released this morning, shot at a restaurant near the Capitol.
It's so stressful to get by these days, and I know a lot about stress. I work in restaurants. I started in this kitchen 15 years ago, and you might recognize what's across the street. A lot of people in that building don't get why it's so hard to get by right now. Working hard doesn't mean you can always keep up. One wrong step can lay you out flat. This is by design.
Shortly thereafter, she was live on the air with Civic Media's Pat Kreitlow.
Universal child care and fully funded public schools, guaranteed paid leave and cheaper health care. These are transformative policies that I think are the responsible and practical ones where people will feel and they will know that this is what can improve their lives.
So far, the Democratic field of candidates is more crowded than the Republican one. Hong is up against State Senator Kelda Royce, who announced she's running Monday, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, and Milwaukee businessman Ryan Sternad. Two Republicans have declared their candidacy, Washington County Executive Josh Shoman and businessman Bill Berrien. The primaries are next August, and the general election will follow a few months later in November. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
The 2026 fall primary is 11 months from now. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. The Emmy Awards were a lot of fun for actress Kristen Milioti, who won an Emmy for her role on The Penguin. Once the actual award show ended, though, the night went south. Literally, when Milioti took a tumble and dropped her Emmy while arriving at an after party. The actress plays Sofia Falcone in the Batman spinoff and beat out some pretty stiff competition in Michelle Williams, Rashida Jones, and Cate Blanchett. To the best of my knowledge, the Emmy was not hurt. More news from the Emmys, and more specifically, the show White Lotus. The previous 3 years saw White Lotus as an Emmy darling, but this year the cast was completely shut out despite all seven supporting actors drawing nominations. White Lotus Season 3 won one Emmy this year for original main title music. If a show could win an Emmy Award for beautiful settings, White Lotus would probably be 4 for 4. While on the red carpet, Season 3 stars Parker Posey and Jason Isaacs let it slip that Season 4 will take place in the south of France. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly sunny sky for today, a few showers and maybe even a thunderstorm around. A high within a few degrees of 80. Rain chances continue tonight, lows in the low 60s. More storms around Friday, high-low 70s. Rain chances continue into the weekend. Currently at 64 degrees.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Frank Herman's. When we moved here, yeah. I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing.
Kidding me?
On the other end, it's just silence. Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Capital Times writer Victoria Davis, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. Then Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens joins us to update us on everything Wisconsin sports.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
This is normally the time you hear me say you should sign up for our newsletter at Up North News by going to upnorthnewswi.com and clicking subscribe in the banner at the top of the homepage. But I'm not going to say that. Kind of did. Instead, I'm going to tell you Civic Media now has a new daily newsletter filled with all kinds of links to some of the highlights from shows of the previous day, guests that are coming up, and so much more. It's on Substack, so sign up at civicmediatoday.substack.com and be part of Civic Media's new daily newsletter. Let's talk about your money and the markets after the opening bell here with Sean O'Malley and that ever-loving stagflation that appears to be hanging on. I mean, you've got the Fed cutting interest rates a quarter point, but I mean, nothing in there says to me, well, that should take care of inflation, you know, and you've got a sluggish job market. I sense a lot of treading water still.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing, Pat. They're trying to not make any sudden moves. I mean, I think part of it is they're probably a little bit afraid of doing what they did back in 2022, where they kept raising rates and far further than anyone expected them to, and far more aggressively, and they really overshot the mark then. So they're trying to take a more measured response this time. Certainly, you know, they're making the administration, the current administration, happy with that move. But yeah, it's sort of a placate to the soft employment market without too much of a raise in rates so that you're going to make inflation even worse than it already is. So there are a lot of factors in play, but we know that everyone is looking and expecting an overall softer economy going forward.
Well, especially when you've got the, like we like to say, the, on the one hand, inflation, on the other hand, you know, employment. And now you've got this, while you've got things in both hands, you've got the third thing is political pressure, you know, punching you in the gut while you're looking at the things in your two hands here. So, I mean, it's not an easy time to try to actually manage the economy.
Very true. Although some would describe that target as a little lower than the gut, but yes.
Yes. I try to make these things radio friendly where I can. And fine, let's conclude with the tariff watch, the tax tally. Tariffs are taxes on the American consumer. And what's the tote board looking like?
Yeah, this is going to be a new segment that I want to do monthly. So we'll keep track of how much we as consumers have had to pay in additional taxes through the tariffs. So this is going to be the Tariff Watch Tax Tally. Lots of alliteration there to make it easy to remember. So the Tariff Watch Tax Tally as of the end of August is $183.6 billion.
So that's without a farm bailout.
That's without the farm bailout. If you include the farm bailout, most of the experts are saying you're going to need at least double that. Ooh. So, you know, are we winning yet?
I don't believe we're winning.
We're screwing over every trading partner we've got, a lot of our allies, and making ourselves obsolete in the process. And I'm just wondering what's going to happen in the future when you try to reestablish commerce with a lot of these trading partners that have now since moved on.
And even if they come back, there'll be the mistrust. And I know we talked about it last week in conclusion, but it really sticks with me as you drive around here. You drive around and you see cornfields, but you see a lot of soybean fields, and those soybeans, I mean, it's looking good. It's looking good until they're either left rotting in the field or piling up and rotting, because I believe the tote board for China ordering soybeans, does that tote board still read zero as far as we know?
It still reads zero, Pat. That's correct. Don't and remember, you've got to consider that they are the world's biggest buyer of soybeans. But they have decided, and I'm sure this is supported by, you know, President Xi Jinping of China, that they're not going to order a single soybean from the U.S., which seems to be what's happening. And they ordered everything from Brazil instead. And I know exactly what you're talking about with respect to those fields. I drive, you know, past them between the two houses. I see tons of corn out there. I see tons of soybeans, and nothing has been harvested yet. And I'm wondering, will it?
I'm wondering, speaking of Brazil, maybe we could we import their Supreme Court?
I think we should enter negotiations to trade for that. A Supreme Court with a backbone, willing to uphold the rule of law. What a novel concept. That could be something that we could consider.
Yeah, against a former president trying to stage a coup. Boy, a Supreme Court exchange would be grand. Sean O'Malley, finance and economics expert, joining us on Thursday mornings. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat. Take care.
All right. Yep. Good to see you. It is 8:40 right now, and we'll talk more about the state of geopolitics, media politics, whatever you want to call it, with Joe Zepecki. Joe, I think I finally learned my lesson. I'm no longer going to ask, how are you? I keep looking for the perfect answer to how are you. I think the right thing is to just stop asking and to find a new opening question.
Yeah.
Because there's no great answer to that one, especially after recent events involving, a president pushing another talk show host off the air and a congressman continuing to use the First Amendment like toilet paper.
Yeah. You know, a week ago, we had a pretty hard conversation in the wake of the Charlie Kirk assassination. Mm-hmm. And my take on it was that we just need to declare and decide these are politically violent times, and that that acceptance of that reality is the first step in finding our way out of a politically violent period of time. And so if you ask 1 week later, have things gotten better or worse in the wake of Kirk's murder, the answer is unequivocally that things have gotten worse. That what has happened in the last week is not concerning. It is deeply alarming. This is happening. And what I'm talking about specifically in the last 24 hours is the government, the federal government, threatening broadcasters, corporations in this country who air things like comedy, and saying, you haven't taken part in speech we disagree with, and so we can do this the hard way or the easy way. And the capitulation by ABC and Disney to pull Jimmy Kimmel off the air for a joke about Donald Trump that was, if we're being honest, like pretty benign.
Yeah.
Wasn't a great joke. Right.
It wasn't a reason. It was an excuse.
It was an excuse. And for Brendan Carr, the head of the FCC, who in the past has said things which demonstrate he understands we are in a very bad place if the government is trying to engage in censorship. And now as the head of the FCC is engaging in that censorship himself, we have crossed another red line, and we just need to be as clear-eyed about that and about the current threat to the First Amendment this week as we were about the fact that we live in politically violent times last week.
Yeah, and it's not going to get better anytime soon, and here's one way it's not going to get better, and I wish I had better news for folks, but I have to say, here's how it's not going to get better. In the wake of Charlie Kirk's murder, there was a lot of talk about Charlie Kirk's record, his legacy, his quotes. And in normal times, that would have eventually faded and people would have focused more on, we can't have this kind of political violence in the country. And we would all unite around that. But instead, what is happening right now is that as you're seeing this, vengeance campaign that puts the First Amendment in a wood chipper and starts getting people fired and shows canceled and organizations threatened with defunding, the response to that is going to be, you know what? Let's remind ourselves what these people were saying. And Charlie Kirk's words are going to come back. I've already seen this online. People going, hey, by the way, before we turn this guy into a martyr, before we turn him into a saint, here's a reminder of what he had to say. And that's simply going to incense the people on the right even more. But I think that's the next step, is to remind people we are not, I'm sorry, we are not doing the deification of Charlie Kirk. We're not doing it today, and we're not doing it tomorrow.
Think about the extraordinary privilege one has to have people in the wake of their passing, whether untimely in the case of Charlie Kirk, or at the end of a very long life, like Robert Redford, who we lost this week. And to have people be trying to figure out what your legacy is and what your time here meant while you were here. That is fine to do. And the notion that people who are just saying, this is what Charlie Kirk had to say about this issue, whether that's gun control versus the Second Amendment, whether that is his constitutionally protected, even if by my count, pretty gross take on members of the trans community or the intelligence of Black women. To have people engage in a dialogue and share the things that that person said when they were with us be grounds for you're going to lose your opportunity to make a livelihood. The government is going to censor your speech as a comedian. Like, holy cow, have we lost the plot, folks. I don't know a ton about Charlie Kirk other than some of the most heinous things he said. But I believe, and I've been told by my conservative friends, that he is someone who cherished the First Amendment and understood that its most important purpose was to protect unpopular speech, right? And he was somebody who was engaging in some quarters, things that people wanted to hear, and in other quarters, people didn't want to hear. If the First Amendment doesn't apply to speech you disagree with, then we are truly lost.
Well, I want to agree with you, but I just have to ask myself, if this had happened instead to Sean Hannity or Nick Fuentes or any of those other folks, would Charlie Kirk be doing just that? Would he be saying, hey, wait a minute, we got to stand up for the First Amendment instead? Right now, one of the few people I've seen doing that is Tucker Carlson, of all people. Once again, like Liz Cheney and other things, when I realize that I'm on the same side of an issue as Tucker Carlson, we are living in the crazy times.
Yeah, crazy is certainly one way to put it. I'm trying to see if I have it here. I do not have Mr. Carlson's quote, but I agree with him too. What he is saying is when the government controls what you think and what you can say, then we are truly lost. And so that's where we find ourselves today. And that's the long answer to, how you doing, Joe?
I think that Tony's got a new one. He puts up on YouTube, what's the state of the dumpster fire today? That's my new, how you doing? That's a good candidate for it, perhaps. He also says, my wife asked last night, so when do we go? You look back in history and wonder why people didn't get out. Are we there now? I honestly didn't know the answer. And I mean, again, I'm not trying to be flippant about it. I love my country. It's worth fighting for. But yeah, my passport's up to date.
And my answer to Tony and to you and to anyone else is we need people of good conscience who are patriotic Americans who believe in this country's first principles, like, you know, equal justice under the law. Yeah. We need to stay and we need to turn things around. We've been in dark times before. We're in a dark time now, and America will find a way.
Back with more with Joe Zepecki and a few final notes and news from Lake Wissota right after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Kira Sabin, positive psychology midlife coach.
People cannot take away our joy. When I spend time with people I love, putting my time and energy in things that I love that I think are important, not much has really changed. If you are worried about LGBTQIA plus rights, go volunteer at that organization.
You know you're moving the cause forward, and that's great for our mental health.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse is home for the Todd Allbaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4. 1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home for the Todd Allbaugh Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Brewers, Angels, Game 3 of the series. Pre-game begins at 6:05 this evening on several Civic Media radio stations. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, a national pro-democracy news network filled with podcasts and newsletters, like the one from Mark Jacob. We'll talk to him tomorrow about his latest newsletter, Media Timidity, from some cowardly journalists after the Charlie Kirk murder. You can read more at stopthepresses.news. or couriernewsroom.com. Joe Zepecki continues with us now. And if you missed it earlier, we're going to play back just a snippet of audio as WEAU 13 News in Eau Claire actually reached out to Derek Van Orden about his threats to defund the city of Eau Claire, one of the largest cities in his district. And Derek Van Orden was his usual jerk self, and hiding behind the federal code that defines domestic terrorism, but without actually saying how. Here's him being asked about all the tweets, and he's been threatening to get all these people fired for their reactions to the Charlie Kirk murder, and he equates their reactions to domestic terrorism in a very cavalier and condescending way. Give a listen.
We asked the congressman about these posts, saying they don't seem to be calling for violence. Here's what he said.
I'm going to say this one more time. If you look up the U.S. code and read it, it is crystal clear that what they are saying falls under this U.S. statute. So it's a little frustrating when I have clearly intelligent people like yourself who can read that you don't do your homework before you conduct this interview.
So again, the word you're looking for is jerk. And he said, oh, it's crystal clear if you read the statute. You look at the statute, it's about domestic terrorism and inciting violence, and criticizing Charlie Kirk or even just putting up his own words doesn't come anywhere near that. But it's nice of him to say that, you know, clearly intelligent people who can read don't do their homework, Joe.
I wonder if he's ever read a Supreme Court opinion.
No.
In full.
No, I would bet not.
Because hate speech is not treated differently than free speech or popular speech. And the Supreme Court has routinely upheld that. You cannot incite people to violence. You cannot call for people to be harmed. And saying, I disagree with this thing that Charlie Kirk said, and then putting it out there, is not hate speech. It is protected free speech in this country. And the fact that Derek Van Orden does not like it or does not agree with that sentiment does not make it unlawful. And thank goodness he is but a mere member of Congress and not at the head of the executive branch like Donald Trump is. But what we are seeing is it kind of doesn't matter. It's a distinction without a difference, because this executive branch has overstepped and is now trying to police speech in this country. And that is deeply problematic.
Oh, yeah. It's policing speech. It's the thought police, however you want to frame it. I would recommend to folks to go over to the WEAU.com website. The headline is Congressman Derek Van Orden discusses bill surrounding political violence. You can hear the full report. But to their great credit, at the bottom of the story, they also put the entire 18-minute raw interview. And I've seen excerpts of that raw interview where Derek Van Orden just talks over the reporters. There are two reporters talking to him, and he just talks over them rather than waiting to hear the question and answering the question, because he's so much smarter than the reporters and just feels the need to talk over them. And I give Channel 13 a lot of credit, because after a lot of local media in the third district have not really given him critical coverage, but proposing this bill that essentially, you know, counts all anti-Charlie Kirk speech as domestic terrorism, I'm glad they jumped right on this and tried to actually show who Derek Van Orden really is. We are finally getting more of that view out to his constituents than previously.
Yeah. I am going to botch who made this joke, but I do think it's important to remember that it's okay to joke. And someone on one of the social media platforms yesterday said, thank God Rodney Dangerfield and Don Rickles aren't around anymore, because we would all be really, really sad to see them locked up and imprisoned.
Yeah. I mean, again, heaven forbid. And it's going to be an expensive lesson for Van Orden and others as anything like this is challenged. There are going to be, right now, we're only hearing about the firings, the threats, the cancellations. They will eventually be followed by the lawsuits. And it's going to be long and drawn out and very expensive to taxpayers. And I do still feel like it's going to cost them a lot next year in the midterms, as otherwise moderate or even lean right voters go, this is not really a group of people I want to keep in power.
This is not what the American people voted for. They were concerned about high prices. They were concerned about an economy that isn't working for folks. And rather than focus on making people's lives better and addressing that, you instead have a MAGA majority Congress that has abdicated its constitutional responsibilities to be a check and balance. You have an executive branch that is overreached into nonsense like attacks on the First Amendment. And voters are seeing that. And it is not to the political benefit of Republicans. They can still get smart. They can figure this out. But I'm not holding my breath.
No. So we'll, of course, be following this on all of the civic media shows until or unless, you know, the FCC wants to come down in some other way, shape or form. But in the meantime, we'll keep doing our talk shows. We'll keep doing our sports. We've got the Brewers who are playing again tonight. And Joe, we're now in the season of trepidation for me, because we already know things are going well. So now as you're waiting for that injury, like the Angels pitcher yesterday who got drilled on his pitching arm by a 107 mile an hour hit. I'm living in fear now for the final 2 weeks of the season.
We need to be able to find joy in all the places. Don't pre-grieve.
Thank you. Brewers. Thank you. I so needed to hear that. And you know what? That applies to a lot of things. Don't pre-grieve. I like it. Joseph Pecky, thank you as always. I appreciate it so much.
Talk to you next week.
All right. Again, tomorrow we'll have our usual week in review panel. We'll have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and journalist Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. We'll have Kia Vakil from Courier Newsroom, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and Mike Clemens giving us sports. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News. Enjoy your Thursday. See you bright and early tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. here up north.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. After jumping to their highest level in nearly 4 years to start the month, initial filings for unemployment benefits dropped back last week.
Weekly jobless filings are an indicator of the health of the overall job market and surged to 263,000 2 weeks ago. In the latest reading, the figure has fallen back to 231,000. The less volatile four-week moving average finds around 240,000 applications for unemployment benefits every week for the past month.
ABC's Jim Ryan. A key CDC vaccine advisory panel has begun its two-day meeting on childhood vaccines. Health Secretary Robert Kennedy got rid of the entire previous board, replacing many of the members who have been skeptical of vaccines or who have spread misinformation about inoculations. Jimmy Kimmel Live, off the air indefinitely, preempted by ABC. FCC Chairman Brendan Carr criticized Kimmel and the network after Kimmel's comments about the Charlie Kirk shooting. This is ABC News.